Good morning. Stand and join me with the call to worship. God has made this day. Let us rejoice and be glad. The God who raised Jesus Christ from the dead raises us to new life daily.
Thanks be to God.
Glory be to God, our Creator, to Jesus, our risen Christ, and to the Spirit, our comfort. Amen.
Seated. And as you're seated, let me welcome all of you to worship today at Southside Baptist Church. It's great to be in the Lord's house on this glorious day with bright sunshine and pleasant weather, and it's even cooler in here than it was last week. So I know that many of you are grateful for that, but we all are grateful for that. But I do want to welcome all of those who are our guests today on this special day. It is Mother's Day. And we'll say a little bit more about that later, but we want to welcome all those who may be here because you have come to visit family or friends and you find yourself here. We're delighted that you're here on this day. Southside Baptist Church is a church in the heart of the city, here in Five Points South, building an inclusive community of grace, first in this community and then beyond. And we do take seriously the call to be who we have been placed here to be, and that is the presence of Christ, by welcoming all into this church as you come in to into this church building to worship, but also to use your gifts and abilities. We are blessed with many, many people that are very, very talented and gifted by God to do his work and to build his kingdom here on earth. I pray now that as we all worship together, there will be a time of uplifting worship, that our spirits would be uplifted, and we would also be blessed through all that we engage in today. Will you pray with me, please? Oh Lord, we come into your house with grateful hearts. We come giving thanks to you for all that you have done in our lives and for the way that you have blessed us and for the way that you have reached out in your tender kindness, your loving care, with grace that knows no bounds, and you have brought us in to your family of faith. I pray, O Lord, that today as we worship you, that we would worship you in spirit and in truth, that we would sense your presence, and that we would find peace. We would also find a sense of hope, both for today and for the days ahead. Bless this time of worship in Christ's name. Amen. Our first scripture lesson today is found in the Psalter, Psalm 111, verses 1 through 5. Psalm 111, 1 through 5. Praise the Lord. I will extol the Lord with all my heart in the council of the upright and in the assembly. Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. Here ends our first lesson.
Thank you. Second reading is from the Gospel of John, the second chapter, and reading the first 12 verses. In honor of the Gospel, will you stand for the reading of Scripture? On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. And Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it, and when the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said, "Everyone serves the good wine first and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. And after this, he went down to Capernaum with his mother, his brothers, and his disciples, and they remained there a few days. This is the word of the Lord.
All may be seated. Thank you for coming down and helping us today. Jack, you're always a big help. You know what today is? It's a special day. It's Mother's Day. Ryder, you fixed something over there. Is that for your grandmother? For your mom? Oh, you take it. Okay. Yeah. Ryder doesn't have his mom with him anymore, like I don't have mine with me. And so we have to remember them in special ways, don't we? And we can always do that. But you know, it is Mother's Day, and we do give thanks for all of the ways that we have been nurtured by our moms or other people who may have nurtured us just as much as a mom. Sometimes it's a grandmother. Sometimes it's a neighbor. You know, Jack, let me tell you a story about something. When I was about your age, we lived in a small town. And next door, there was a couple that lived there, and they didn't have any children. But her name was Donella. And we called her Miss Don. She took me places. She spent time with me. And I thought she was doing it for me. I know what she was doing it for. I had four older siblings, so she was actually doing it for my mom. But I thought she was doing it for me. But she took care of me, and she took me places and bought surprises for me all the time that I was growing up while we lived there. So sometimes people that care for us and do things for us, like a mom would do, aren't really our moms, didn't give birth to us, but they care for us, and they nurture us, and they show us. But you know, the things that we talked in Sunday school today about how moms love us, and grandmoms love us, and aunts love us, and other folks love us because they have a maternal instinct. That makes them sort of ability to be a mom. They love and they care for. And a part of that is sharing the love, giving love to other people and blessing them. So today, I'm going to let you help me do something. Right behind me, do y'all see those baskets back there? Could you get those? And I'm going to get Jack and Ryder to do one. And tell me your name again. Callie. Okay, Callie. I'm going to see if you and Grandma can take that. And we're going to take them to everybody we think might deserve one of those flowers. And it doesn't matter if they have a child with them or have had children or not, because just about every lady that's here has in some way nurtured someone. They've nurtured and they've helped us. So what I want you to do now, Ryder, you and Jack, take your basket. I'm hoping that both of y'all can do that together. That's why I've got both of this doing it. Okay, let's put that in there. Now you just walk up the aisle on that aisle. And Callie, will you take it and go up this aisle? And you just hold the basket out to them and let them get one. Okay? You and one of you get on one side and one on the other and go in that aisle over there, okay? We didn't rehearse this. So, man, be careful for the thorns. And it may take a moment, but I think it's worth it because, you know, being a mom or nurturing a child is not something that's easy. And it comes with thorns along the way sometimes. But we trust and Dr. Roxburgh, if your time is cut a little bit short, I'm sorry about that. Okay, great. Well, and as usual, the girl has finished first. So, did you get one? I'll tell you, if anybody got missed, we'll have them right here, and I want to make sure that y'all take one to your mom, and you can take one to go. We'll leave the rest of these down here. And if there's, where's your basket? Is it empty? Okay. So we almost didn't have enough, did we? Well, Callie, before you go back to the, okay. Oh, that's good. She can't find a way up there. Come right here, Callie. Come right here. She needs to go to her aunt who's in the choir. What I wanted to do, for just a second, we get ourselves back here, and thank you all for doing that. And when all these ladies take these home, they'll be able to remember, Jack, that you handed them that flower and were giving thanks for the way that they've helped. And hopefully over the years, they'll be able to nurture you as you're here at Southside, and Ryder, as you're here as well. And Callie, we hope you'll come back too. But the thing is that moms love us and care for us, but that love that they have within their heart comes from God. It's a God-given gift that they have. And so we want to give thanks that God has given them the ability to care for us and nurture us day in and day out, okay? Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the blessings of moms and also for those who care for us and nurture us who may fill in where a mom is not able to be anymore or maybe in addition to those nurturing aspects of raising us. We thank you, O Lord, for all that you do for us and for the love that you have imparted. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Did you get one to take your mom?
Will you join me in prayer? Loving God, we've gathered this day to worship you and to thank you for your love. Today, as we offer you our adoration and our praise, we recall the very many gifts that you have given to us. We thank you especially today for family. And our prayer is for those who have nurtured us in all so many different ways down through the years. We thank you for those who birthed us and those who took care of us. And we ask for your blessing upon them, whether they still be with us this day or in your presence. Grant to them all fullness of life in this world and in the world to come. Help them to be living examples of those who keep the commandments of Jesus. And yet, Lord, knowing the imperfection of all our human families, we pray that where there is need for forgiveness in our lives, that you would forgive and help us to forgive. Where there is need of patience, you would grant us grace to be lovingly patient to others and for them to be patient with us. For where there is need of endurance in the face of burden or care, that you would grant strength to continue in love. Bless, O God, both our mothers and ourselves. And we pray today for mothers who are young, just beginning the way of motherhood, that they may be given patience, love, and wisdom. For mothers who are older, who have found the way hard, that they may be given renewed strength and love and courage. For mothers whose children are encumbered with unusual difficulties, that they may know your grace to enable them to be gracious and loving to those for whom they are caring. We pray in different parts of the world for those whose mothers do not have, those whose children do not have enough to eat, who do not have proper medication for illness. We pray for all who are in particular need on this Mother's Day. We pray for mothers whose children have been lost early in life, for those whose children have been given over to adoption and they feel the pain of that within their lives. For mothers in heart who have been unable to have their own children, that their motherly instincts may be fulfilled by caring for significant other people within their lives. We thank you for this day, and we come to you with all our prayers in the name of Jesus, who in life and death honored the one who was his mother, and who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Followers of the Lamb, sing, O Adonai. I have to begin this morning by saying that I've got a problem with Mother's Day. Mother's Day in Great Britain is during Lent, whereas Mother's Day in North America is today. And my dear wife has gotten used to, over the last 14 years, being taken out for lunch on both Mother's Days. But Father's Day in both Britain and America is the same day in June, so I feel shortchanged somewhat. In England, it's called Mothering Sunday. It was the day when churchgoers in outlying villages and hamlets would go back to Mother Parish Church to bring their offerings. By the 19th century, when a lot of young girls were working in the homes of the rich as servants, Mothering Sunday became a holiday. It was an opportunity for them to go back to be with their mothers in their home church on Mothering Sunday. And to show that they had become skillful in the kitchen, they would take a cake that was often described as a simnel cake. Our Mother's Day is different. Didn't begin until 1907, suggested by Anna Pervert Jarvis of Philadelphia, who thought there should be a special day for mothers. And at the church service, people, and some do this morning, wear carnation in honor of their mothers. Apparently, we will spend in the region of $21.2 billion on our Mother's Day celebrations today. 80% on cards, 67% on flowers, and you've received your flower this morning, Gwen. 33% on some kind of clothing. 1.8 billion will be spent on Mother's Day lunches. If you haven't got your reservations, then you're probably too late. But Mother's Day is special. Can I have an amen? But a preacher is in somewhat of a difficulty on Mother's Day. It's not on the liturgical calendar. It's not an official church festival at all. Like Advent or Pentecost, this is, as our hymn suggests to us, the Sunday after Ascension. There are no particular lectionary texts for Mother's Day. In fact, the church officially ignores it, which is probably not a good idea, because lots of people come to church on Mother's Day. Indeed, sometimes it puts extra pressure on the preacher. A young minister about to face preaching his first sermon to a congregation frantically called his professor and said, "What do I preach on? What do I preach about?" And the wise professor said, "About God and about 12 minutes." So here goes. My text for today, you may have already seen, is John chapter 2. It's about a mother in the New Testament, a special mother. The mother of our Lord. Mary, who was given a very special title in the 3rd, 4th century of the Christian church, Theotokos, Mother of God. It was a title that was intended to intensify our belief in the real humanity of Jesus. Mary, a real mother, was the mother of our Lord and our Savior. But here is a different occasion. Mary and Jesus and the rest of the disciples have also been invited. Well, I suppose they had to be invited. They went with Jesus at this time. And they had gone to a wedding. And the marriage planner was about to lose her job because they had run out of wine. But Mary had an idea. So initially, she just goes straight to Jesus and says, "They've got no wine." And Jesus appears almost to be rude when he says, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." Well, then she goes to plan B, and she says to the servants in the house, "Do whatever he tells you." And within a short period of time, the servants in the house have more wine than they can drink. And it's not that $2.99 variety you get at Aldi's. It's the best of the best. And by the end of the story, we read that they went down to Capernaum with his mother and his brothers and his disciples, and they remained there a few days. It's almost as if they've gone for a vacation. It's a strange story, this story of Cana of Galilee. At one level, it's a simple tale, beautifully told. Ordinary people joining in a rural feast of dancing and singing and family renewal and hope are given by God the very gift that they need most for the feast to flourish. This aspect of the story ought not to be overlooked. This is who God is. This is the God who comes on the wayside. This is the God who comes to ordinary homes. This is the God who stoops down to the cross of Calvary in all sorts of different ways. This is God coming into our experience and giving to us a revelation of who he is, the God who brings fullness and life and joy. It's not all about serious things. It's about ordinary human love and joy. Now, to understand the dynamics of the story, we need to kind of unpack it a little. Wedding etiquette is so different in so many different countries. I discovered that it's very different even between England and Scotland. Gwen and I were married in England in a Baptist church just outside of the city. We're married in the church. We had our meal in the church hall, a few speeches, and then we went off to the honeymoon. But then in Scotland, when our two daughters were married, it was a much more elaborate affair. We had the service in the church, and then interminable photographs that went on forever. And then we sat down in a hotel to a major meal. Then we had a break, and then we came back for a dance and more food, and it all lasted until about midnight. It was extravagant, and it was exhausting. Well, in this story, it's the third day of the celebration. John's very particular about telling us what day things take place on. And weddings in this ancient Near Eastern culture were very elaborate. They went on for days. And the whole village would attend. And Jesus came with his family and the disciples. And there were lots of people there, and one of the expectations was that not only would guests come and family would come, but they would bring their gifts with them, and one of the gifts they would bring would be food and wine. Now, we're not just too sure exactly why Mary feels particularly concerned about the lack of wine. Maybe she feels that, well, I brought my son and all his hangers-on to the wedding, so I'm kind of responsible for running out. And so she feels she's got to do something about it. Her initial asking of Jesus brings a response that appears to be rude. What has this got to do with me or to you? It's a bit like saying to your mum, you expect me to take you out for lunch and pay the bill as well, you know? Well, actually, the term he uses is probably just a term of general respect that would have been used, and he uses it on more than one occasion, according to John's Gospel, a kind of southern ma'am, woman. Jesus, however, uses this occasion to bring about one of the many signs. That's John's particular word that he uses for miracles. They're not only miracles, they are miracles, but they're signs. They point beyond the miracle to something significant, to what God is doing in people's life and in the world. So it points beyond itself to the glory of Jesus as God who has become human to fill our lives with his grace. It's the third day that this happens. Is John already within the gospel giving us a kind of indication that on the third day, a few years later, something special will happen as Jesus rises from the dead? Well, here, he gets the servants to get the 6 stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification. John's very particular in helping us to understand what's happening here. They each hold 20 or 30 gallons of water. They were not clay jars. Clay jars could become ritually contaminated and so were not used for these Jewish rites. Stone jars were. Jesus brings the stone jars and fills them to the very brim with water. And he turns it into at least 120 gallons of the best wine possible. This is not a Baptist wedding. Jesus was not a party pooper. His presence brought overwhelming joy into the celebration. One caveat towards this, joy and happiness are not the same. They're sometimes confused. Nothing wrong with being happy. But it's not the same as joy, not in terms of the Bible. We live in a fun society, and nothing wrong with having fun. I enjoy a party like the rest of you. Jesus went to some great parties. It's Almost amazes me that people think that Jesus was down in life when people invited him to parties. And they got concerned that he was going to so many. They called him a glutton and a wine bibber. But here he's warning us that our religious life needs to be filled with life. You see, he takes the Jewish jars of purification and he fills them to the full with water, but he changes them into wine. Our religious life, our rituals, all that we hold dear as the people of God, as we worship God, in the routine day by day and Sunday by Sunday, we bring the vessels of our lives, our whole beings, and our churches. And we ask Jesus to fill us with a wine that will satisfy and fill us to joy overflowing. He's warning us, I think, in this passage, he's warning the Jewish community, but he's warning us that we mustn't put our hope and our trust in the outward facade of ritual and religion. And whether that's Judaism or being a Baptist or Pentecostal or Episcopal or Catholic or Methodist or anything else, without the life-giving presence of Jesus, it can often be just a facade. I mean, we treasure what we have. We treasure this building. We treasure all the memories that some of you for decades have had within this place. But we live in the present. And we live in the present and look to the future and seek for God to bring us such a sense of his presence in our worship that our hearts will be full to overflowing. Jesus is ushering in this miracle, this sign, the knowledge that in encountering him, he can make things so much better. Things can only get better. The best is yet to come. In Christ, we are drawn to see in Christ the glory of God. That's the word that John uses over and over again in this gospel. We have seen his glory, the glory of the only one and Son of the Father who has come to us, who is full of grace and truth. And in this miracle, Jesus displays his grace, his overwhelming grace, his love, his presence, his joy. It's a wonderful story. It's applicable in so many different ways. It reminds us that Jesus steps into the most ordinary events of life, a family wedding. We can invite Jesus into every aspect of our life, not just Sunday. He's with us every day of the week. He's with us today in church, but if you go to Jim and Nick's or Brio's or Seasons 52 or whatever, he's with you at the lunch table. That shouldn't make you feel a little bit scared. Actually, I'm saying it to make you feel this is good. God is with you. He fills every aspect of life with his presence. George Herbert puts it this way: heaven in the ordinary. Heaven in the ordinary. In the ordinary, God is with us. That's what happened in this wedding feast. In the common places of life, Jesus transforms even the most difficult, awkward situation when things are going wrong with his presence. And things can only get better. He's the one who comes to fill my life and your life so that it overflows with his love and with his joy. Gallons and gallons of it. So that we have the best of the best of the best of his grace and love and mercy. So we listen to his mother today as she says to us what she said to those servants. Do whatever he tells you. And you know, when we do whatever he tells us, then things change and things get better. And the stone jars of our life are filled with his love and his joy forevermore. The best is yet to be. So we go from this place with the presence of Christ to celebrate the joy of God who has come. Thanks be to him. Will you pray with me? God of grace, God of overwhelming love, we thank you for the transforming presence that you brought to that wedding feast in Cana. into the ordinary of our life, into the ordinary of our worship, into all that we are as your people. Bring your refreshing love. We ask it in your own name. Amen. Our hymn of response and of promise is number 672. All things are yours. We make that true. 672.
Please join me in prayer. Father, we come before you hearing your call to be witnesses in the world and receiving your gift of the Holy Spirit, which gives us strength and courage for the journey ahead. Sometimes we may wonder how much of a difference our witness and our gifts of time, talent, or money may make in your world. Yet we know that you are a God of miracles, a God who turns water into wine, a God who makes heaven out of the ordinary. And we know that anything freely given to you can be used in the service of your kingdom. Please bless our gifts to you, in Christ's name. Amen.
be seated for just a moment, please. There's two or three announcements to make before we depart today and to share with our families, I hope. If you have an opportunity, if you're able to celebrate with your mom, please do that. If you're not, remember them and know that they have imparted great and wonderful things to us in various ways throughout the years. This evening will be a busy time at Southside, beginning right after worship. So if you've got late reservations for dinner with family, you're going to have to eat very quickly to get back. So Dr. Banks is going to come and say a word about that.
Thank you, Dr. Gott. You know, we tried to leave enough of a large window there so that you could go out, do your lunch plans, and then hopefully make it back by 4 o'clock for in Foster Auditorium on third floor. You saw in your insert today, the printing is really tiny, but the important stuff I think you can probably read. 4 p.m. Foster Auditorium. That is a $15 ticket for purposes of fundraising for Southside Center for the Arts and Humanities. This is a wonderful play. It is about a mother and a son. The son is being played by our own Dr. Kenny Gannon, and the mother is played by Julia Gibbs Mattson, who they have written letters to one another over the course of a lifetime, and they will read these in a sort of dramatic fashion for about an hour and 15 minutes. It's not an overlong production, so you need not worry about that. And if you come to that, you can also go then downstairs for Jazz Vespers. In the past, we had Foster Auditorium all decked out for Jazz Vespers, but this time we're moving it to the what I call now the Music Hall, this formerly known as the Gymnasium, and you'll see why we call it a Music Hall when you show up down there. At 6 o'clock, there'll be some food and certainly fellowship, and Cheryl and the Jazz Vespers Band. Ricky Powell is going to be our vocalist today, this afternoon, and we really hope we can see you for either or both events. I'm calling it our Mother's Day doubleheader. I know that's kind of a baseball thing, but hey, you know, why not? It's spring, and that's our ploy for it. Thanks.
And I want to call attention to the flowers today. These flowers are placed in the sanctuary and given to the glory of God in memory of Moms Jeannie Barron and Dot Piper by Jim and Philip, and they are beautiful. And they do reflect the glory of God, I think, in just the diverse nature and all the things that you have included there. I hope that those of you who received a flower will take that as a reminder of God's love for you, but also for the gratitude that we want to show to all of those who have given us so much through the years as well. And many of you have nurtured us along the way. As we go out, would you take just a moment to pass the peace of Christ before Dr. Roxburgh comes and pronounces a benediction?
Receive the blessing of God as you can with it. Go from this place knowing the presence of Christ with you to fill you with his love and with his joy this day and forevermore.